Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm supposed to be having a guest, but they haven't turned up and I've got no other prepared material. So we're just going to sit in silence for the next hour. Ah, I'm just kidding, yeah. Like, I give a crap if there's a plan for the show. There never is in the first place. All right, so firstly, my wife is home now. She just had her surgery and she got like this 20-centimeter fibroid taken out of her gut. Yeah, huge, man. And she's like in a lot of pain and everything, and just in the next room trying to sleep while I'm on a radio without a guest that didn't turn up. You know, just a little bit frustrating. Kind of don't want to do the show right now, but you know, we're live and don't have a choice, do I? You know. And that's one of the things I've been starting to get real kind of ticked off with lately, is the fact that we don't have a choice. You know, do we? We don't really have a choice about anything. All right, like, what's happening in New Zealand just recently here is the government's going, look, okay, you know, it would be a really good idea. Well, you know that democratically accountable process that we elect councils by and then they decide to fluoridate or not fluoridate your city? Yeah. Well, nah, we're not going to do that anymore. So we're just going to just give it to the district health boards who obey the Ministry of Health without question. And they're going to force medicate every single one of you people, even though the Ministry of Health tells people not to drink fluoridated water if you're pregnant or are a child underneath the age of 9 at all. At all. And they're just going to, like, put it in all the water and tell everybody, drink as much as you like. Go for your life, you know. What's the worst that could happen? Dental fluorosis? Brittle bone syndrome? Hip replacement? Fuck it, man. I just get pissed off with that. And on top of this, we've got the vaccine issue right now with the movie Vax coming out. And it's like, dude, I keep hearing all over the place. My wife was working in a cafe not too long back, just before her surgery, right? And she heard on the radio 3 times in less than 2 hours an anti-vaxxer kind of statement, right? Like, wait a second. That will provide a little bit of confusion. A vaxxer comment saying that the anti-vaxxers don't know what they're talking about and they're disgraced and they're blah, 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 and nothing could be further from the truth. Because ultimately, that's what psychopaths do. They tell you the exact opposite of what the truth is and claim that you're everything that they are. You know, that's kind of how that works. And what's problematic about this is because there's no truth being given out of any government agency or any mainstream media source on this issue, it promotes a hell of a lot of confusion out there. You know, everywhere you're like, oh my God, is vaccines good? Are they bad? And the answer is, and I'll give it to you very, very truthfully, they're bad. Bad, bad, bad in every freaking way. Doesn't matter what Andrew Wakefield says. Oh, they cause autism. No. It's just worse than that in every single area that you actually take a look at. All right, Andrew Wakefield, who made the documentary Vaxxed, he still recommends vaccines, you know, just not the MMR one that's strongly linked to autism. When, if you look at the statistics, the 20th century, all of these really terrible diseases that they say, oh, vaccine got rid of them. If we get rid of the vaccines, we'll be going back to the dark ages. All of the freaking diseases were on a downward trend, baby, and they disappeared before the vaccines even freaking showed up. And then, as soon as they started vaccinating everybody, the diseases freaking skyrocketed again! Because the vaccines had the diseases in them that they gave back to you! The stupidity! It hurts me in my brain places, bro. Like, I mean, seriously, going crazy nuts! Because I am so fucking pissed off at being called an anti-vaxxer! Well, being said that because I don't think that dumping toxic waste into the fucking public drinking water supply, I am a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. Thank you! I'm not entirely happy about these situations, about these scum who think that because they're idiots and or psychopathic scum, that they can tell everybody what to do. You know, just order everybody around, no problem. I'm right. I'm 100% right. No, I'm not a member of an indoctrinated cult. How dare you accuse me of that? It's just like, look, unfortunately, we're in a society-wide mind control cult. Sorry to break it to you. Sorry to break it to you. I know it's going to be very hard to accept. You know, because it's not like there's evidence in every direction you look. I've got no patience left. You know, I was afraid that if I would walk into some place or whatever and that they would start like giving me this pro-vaccination or pro-fluoride or anti-anti-vaxxer. Imagine that, an anti-anti-vaxxer. Isn't that a double negative? Doesn't that mean that they're a pro-vaxxer? Yeah, I think I should probably say that slightly more concise. But if you see these pro-vaxxers out there and these pro-fluoride filth, just slap upside the head and say, blame Vinny. All right, it'll actually be quite satisfying to hear that story. Somebody slapped me up the side of the head and told me to blame Vinny. I don't even know what they were talking about. I don't even know anybody named Vinny. just a little bit of grievous bodily harm never hurt anybody. But aside from the frustration that you commonly feel when you're talking about fluoride or vaccines or anything like that, and what I find interesting is I was watching the fluoride submissions this morning, all right, and one of the guys said, oh, it's only fluoride that's bad for you. Vaccines are great for you.
No, they're freaking not. Oh.
You know what really sucks being a little bit more informed than the general public? You know what really sucks about being a little bit more informed than the general public? That even the people who are slightly more informed than the general public think they're informed when they're not, and they're actually freaking stupid too. You know? Have we got this, what would you call it? A requirement. You know, like if I was to put down a list and say, these are the things you're required to accept in order for me to not think that you're an idiot, mind-controlled slave scum. All right? If you think that fluoride's bad for you, yep. If you think the vaccines are bad for you, yep. If you think that busting your ass off and paying your taxes is actually a waste of time because it's only going to criminal banks to scum who tax your income in order to pay the interest of the debt that they made up on the top of the head, yep. And there's probably a whole bunch more that I can name for this list because I'm just thinking about this right. What was I writing the other day? Ah, here it is. The Common Sense Party. Economic policy, fraud and money laundering will be illegal. You know, I guess you just didn't see that coming. Oh, my God, the government's going to outlaw fraud and money laundering? How are they going to do their business on a day-to-day basis? And the answer is they won't really be able to do their business in the day-to-day basis. That's the freaking idea. I wrote down all these policies and stuff like that. And I'm not 100% sure if I've thought these through, right? But at the very least, it'd be better than whatever shit we've got now, isn't it? For example, banks who make money up out of thin air and loan it to people at interest will be prosecuted and have their assets stripped. You know, common sense. You're a fraudster. You stole a whole bunch of money from the entire public. You're prosecuted and have assets stripped. That's how that works. I thought that was quite reasonable. You know, imagine that. People who commit mass fraud on an enormous scale and cause inordinate suffering get punished instead of rewarded with wealth for it. Maybe, is that common sense? Certainly frickin' hope so. What's the next policy on here? All fraudulent personal and government debts, including interest, owed to foreign banks will be reset to zero and forgiven via Jubilee every 25 years. Now, I think maybe 50 years, but 25 years actually seems like a hell of a long time. And people are going, what does this one guy said on Facebook? He says, oh, well, that's what we need, more people being irresponsible with their money, eh, Vinny? And it's just like, no, you're just an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't even realize you're a slave to criminal bankers. You don't realize that you're an idiot. And I don't know why I'm telling you this. Hey, man, have you ever noticed But the one thing an idiot really can't handle is being told the truth, that they're an idiot. Maybe if a brainwashed person comes up and says that, or a cult indoctrinated person comes up and says that, and are we just going about it the wrong way? Like, maybe we could be really nice to them and that kind of thing. There's that sort of approach, which I'm not sure has merit all the time, but it certainly has merit some of the time, because not everybody is a stone. There are people out there who wake up. Hell, that's the other truth chasm, isn't it? You wake up and then you think nobody else is going to wake up. Like, you were the last one, you know, like the last of the Mohicans, bro. You know, oh, you're so special, aren't you? You found out 9/11 was an inside job and nobody else ever will, you know. Did you by chance watch a documentary before you got convinced of that fact? Well, yes, I did. Okay. You're not special. A whole lot of people got convinced by a documentary or a talk radio show host or something like that, that all is not as it seems, and then they force themselves to sit down and study a whole bunch of shit before adopting a new belief structure, namely one that isn't based on belief, but actually based on knowledge. It's called gnosis, right? Because I know this. Imagine a 10% tax on everything you buy and personal income tax being abolished. Why a 10% income tax? It's currently 15%. Oh, wait. Sales tax, rather. Why a 10% sales tax? Because it's a hell of a lot easier for John Q. Public to do the frickin' math on 10% than 15%. All right, think about that. Imagine if tax policy was easy to understand for all the slaves that have to pay it, if they want to pay it. Because the thing about a sales tax is, if you go out and you buy, you know, a Corolla, that's going to be paying a hell of a lot less and a hell of a lot less tax than if you bought yourself a Beamer. You know? And so that way, only the people who actually spend money get taxed. And the people who save, on the other hand, get rewarded, isn't it? And they don't get paid, and they don't have to pay tax because they don't have to buy stuff. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And when they did buy stuff, it'd be easy to figure out because somebody isn't just kind of like cranking up the tax policy year after frickin' year after frickin' year and taking the rest of what you don't even have away from you. You know, this is kind of evil. And you think about how does evil really manifest itself? Well, it manifests itself in a number of ways, but primarily it manifests itself as an organization. I mean, think about it. It's governments that kill people. You should be afraid of them, and you should not trust them. Back in the day in the Soviet era, people knew, they freaking knew that the government and the news that the government controlled was full of shit. They knew it, all right? It was a very interesting time to live. When everybody just went along to get along, even though they knew they were being lied to by the authorities who told them what to do every day and obeyed them anyway. Until it collapsed, eventually. It's just weird, isn't it? It's because you've got a public under mind control. What does the word government mean? Let's have a look at the Latin, shall we? Okay. Mente means the mind, and govern means control. Government, mind control. So if you go into, you ever been to a government school? Oh, you've been to a mind control school. You've been to a government hospital? It's a mind control hospital. It's all mind control. No wonder people are so frickin' stupid. They've been programmed. It's not, you know, an accident. It's being done on purpose, because really, really stupid people are so easy to control. It's unbelievable. You could just tell them something whilst wearing a lab coat or whilst being on television, and they believe it. Just like that. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Just freaking unbelievable. Now, the government, of course, doesn't have an interest in telling people how to think, because The jig would be up pretty quickly, wouldn't it? Hi, everybody. We're a mind control institution, and we're here to tell you how to think. Isn't it kind of counterintuitive, bro? Why, no. No, it's not. Not when you're a hypocritical cam, like me. Speaking of hypocrisy, think about some common sense health policy, right? For example, poisoning the public will be illegal. You know, just throwing that out there. For example, at the moment in New Zealand, we got, what was it, Compound 1080? Man, some nasty stuff. You ever had a seizure? You ever vomited up your own stomach lining because you were so badly poisoned while having a seizure? All right, that's what happens to pretty much every creature that eats 1080 poison. And where do we dump it? Into our rivers. Into our pristine bush. You go into one of those 1080 sites after a big drop. Go in before them. It's just loud as hell. There's birds everywhere. Okay? You go in after it. And that's a horrible sound. In the bush. Dead silence. It's the reason why they call it dead silence. Because everything's been killed. You know? Now, if I were to kill a native New Zealand bird, $50,000 per offense, might go to jail. Maybe $150,000, depending on the bird. If the government kills 10,000 native and endangered species. Yeah. Just, what the, oh my God, bro. Oh my God. Have they even tested these fluoride pellets to see what their toxicity is? Well, yes, they have. And it turns out that you can be an endocrine disruptor at parts per trillion. That means one part 1080, 2 trillion parts water before it no longer affects you. All right? Yeah, I mean, holy cow. That's out of control. And they're getting readings after 1080 drops in the river water in the parts per billions. All right? So it's going downstream. Everybody's like who's drawing their water off of those frickin' pristine New Zealand bush streams. Unbelievable. They have no idea that they're drinking poison. And a lot of the people in the public drinking areas, you know, schools and cities and whatnot, they have no idea that fluoride's a toxin. I mean, how easily can you tell people, look, fluoride's actually not that good for you? How easily can you tell people that? I mean, it doesn't matter how easy it is to tell them. How easy is it to convince them? Because you can show them the graphs that show that fluoride makes no fucking difference to your teeth. None. You can show them the statistics of all of the illnesses and everything like that that have shot up exactly in tandem with the time that fluoride's being added to the water. You can show them admissions from the CDC saying that it's only useful topically. Do they take it out of the water? Just because the CDC said it? No. You can tell them from their own sources that they use to justify fluoridation, who all say that it's freaking toxic. And they still won't believe you that it's toxic. They still think, oh, it's going to be good if you just water it down a little bit. It just magically turns into snowflakes then. What have you got against snowflakes?
Got nothing against snowflakes. Yeah, you. Has the fluoride been working, has it? You dropped 7 IQ points, have you? I can tell. Last time I talked to you, you understood something. Now you don't understand anything. Other than banning fluoride and 1080, what else have we got in there being sprayed into our water all the time and doesn't get tested for and has basically 1,000 times more of it allowed than they do under European drinking water standards? What's the thing? Ah, glyphosate. Yeah, that herbicide and everything like that. Look, I used to live a little closer to the city, and these dudes in these wagons who go around the sides of the roads and the streets and everything like that where all the grass is growing
spraying glyphosate on the grass on the sides of the path so that it can then wash into the frickin' storm drain spray and go out into the ocean. Oh my God. My sister was spraying glyphosate all around her horses and things like that and near waterways. And coincidentally, one of her horses had a huge amount of cancer. You know? Massive tumors and everything like that. Very sad stuff. Very poisonous stuff. And as I said, we're allowed 1,000 times more glyphosate than they are allowed under European drinking water standards. That's because in New Zealand, it's everywhere. Right? Well, farmers use it, the city councils use it, and all of that kind of stuff, and it's toxic as shit. And it should be banned. I mean, really. Now, what are your alternatives to poisoning the public and dumping toxic waste into the water supply? You know, how about if we clean the public drinking water with ozone? You know, 3 oxygen molecules, extremely powerful, kills bacteria and stuff like that. Now, that would be as opposed to chlorine. Now, we've gotten a message from our guest here saying I think they're not in a good internet spot or something like that. And they're on their way back home to Scandinavia for some reason. Okay. Well, I will have to do this whole thing, this whole hour by myself with no... And then they'll be on the other side of the world, so whenever I interview them, yeah, it's just, that pisses me off. All right, never mind, don't care. So other than cleaning the water with ozone instead of chlorine, which was once used to make mustard gas, you know, in World War I, let's just clean the water with it, it'll be great. See, I never got that. Are you able to drink the pool water just because it looks clean? No, because it's got chlorine in it. You'll get sick. You can't, in spa pools and stuff like that, you can't even open your eyes under the water. Now, let's say forced medication was okay. What would you force medicate everybody with in the water supply? Vitamin C. See, here you go. Right there. They've done studies, right, where people have had literally pounds of vitamin C injected into their veins. And no discernible side effects other than being healthy. Wouldn't that be interesting if you put that into the water supply at 1 part per million? Imagine all the diseases and everything that everybody gets, they normally have to take vitamin C in order to prevent. We're already prevented. Wouldn't that be good? I thought it was a pretty common sense solution. Vitamin C is ridiculously cheap. It's not corrosive. Won't eat out the pipes or anything like the fluoride will. And it doesn't matter if a whole bunch of it goes down the drain because vitamin C is good for the animals too. And it doesn't toxify the environment. You know? Thought that sounded like a very good idea to my ears anyway. That's why I wrote it down. And here's the real kicker. If you're talking about public health policy, doctors required by law to read out all the potentially dangerous side effects of drugs and vaccines to patients. Now, I know what you're thinking. What, are you telling me that the doctor would warn me that my son might get autism if I take this vaccine? Yeah. I mean, not specifically using those words, but it says on the packet sheet that if you take one of these things, you can have massive radical shifts in personality that can be permanent, right? It even says that on the warning label. From the vaccine manufacturer themselves. But if you tell a vaxxer this, no, you're crazy, you're conspiracy theorist. that's just pisses me off, man. And I'm so angry. Angry. Is anybody else really angry out there, bro? Is it just me? Am I the only one that's so got my head so full of this conspiracy shit that not only can I see it where it is, i.e. everywhere, but I'm actually now starting to lose my cool because of how things seem to be ramping up, right? Like, we got fluoride out of the water of a number of major cities here in New Zealand, and then they just put it straight back in. And then the government goes, okay, now we're going to make it mandatory. You know, because you guys were convincing people to not take our poison, which is, incidentally, fluoridated areas have far more autistic children than non-fluoridated areas. Just a interesting coincidence there. And I found that the media is starting to lob in anti-vaxxers with the anti-fluoride people as well, which I guess is reasonably fair enough if you were like a myopic dick, but because they're two completely separate issues that are simply part of the same agenda, to couple them together is just trying to put all of us in a group, essentially. And the fact that a lot of people who are anti-fluoride are pro-vaccine, and a lot of people who are pro-vaccine are anti-fluoride, that's kind of frustrating too. You'd figure if you were open about fluoride, the government is deliberately frickin' putting toxic poisons in your water supply, right? And they've got no evidence for it. That you can accept. But the giant pharmaceutical companies who make $30 billion a year for every vaccine that they add to the schedule in the United States, doing that deliberately to hurt your children or something like that, regardless, that's just off the table. No, nobody would ever do something that evil, like deliberately poison people. You already accept that they do. God, fuck. Ah, oh, my God. The frustration, bro. It's like, I don't know. The worst part is I'm starting to feel superior, right? I hate feeling superior to people because I know that I'm not. I'm just a cunt like everybody else. And I'm not better. I'm just different. But the fact that people are so much worse at getting this conspiracy stuff than the average dog, it does make me feel superior. I don't want to be. I don't want to just sit here and kind of like talk down to people and so on and so forth. I'm just letting off steam here, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you feel offended or anything like that. Just turn it off. Go watch another episode or something like that. But if you are, in fact, feeling that righteous indignation and you actually like it when your voice of reason gets confirmed, stick around. Keep listening. There's like 30 more minutes of ranting to go. Now, speaking of ranting, people get arrested for megaphoning and stuff like that. It's like, bro, that's just cruel. Okay, everybody's got free speech. That's pretty straightforward, right? However, a lot of cops and a lot of judges don't seem to know that this law exists. You mean people can say what they think without getting, you know, overly attacked and viciously beaten and stuff like that by the comms? Yeah, they can. Oh, okay. Whew, news to me. Been a law enforcer for like 20 years. I never even heard that once. I bet you didn't. I mean, all right, so let's go on to the law and order policy. Corruption will be illegal. Again, common sense policies. So it'll be illegal for politicians to take bribes in any form. Doesn't mean cash bribes or just getting a job after you pass a particular law or something like that, or you get offered a house or you get bought lunch or anything like that by people who are trying to influence your public policy. That's illegal. Okay? Frickin' illegal. If it's off the books and you received it, that's illegal. Now, I recall Peter Dunn from the United Future Party here in New Zealand, who has been in Parliament as long as I can remember, as long as I've been paying attention to politics. And I need him to be killed. Like I need him to die in some horrible heart attack, just at like, I don't know, 8:30 in the morning on a Monday, just when he's on his way to work, you know, so that he kind of like seizes up in his car or something like that, and his driver just goes, "Oh my God, Mr. Dunn's dying, Mr. Dunn's dying," and just keeps driving as if nothing's happening. And then just writes "no resuscitation" on his forehead in a vivid. See, if Peter Dunn died, I would go into mourning until the afternoon. Okay, like, it'd just be like, shh, it's gone. Thank frickin' heck. I mean, I thought, you know, I celebrated a little bit when John Key kind of like stood down as our prime sinister. I didn't really celebrate that at all, because I knew he was just handing down the buck or something like that and going off to do something more evil globally. But Peter Dunn dying, that is an achievement. Because he's all alone. He doesn't seem to be part of any other political party. Right? Once he's gone, the linchpin of not legalizing cannabis, not getting fluoride out of the water, not being what an associate health minister should be, for lack of a better word, that would be gone, right? The country would change, I hope. And then the second part of me goes, no, it won't. It's like, I don't know. It's like having a lake of sewage and then just taking a bucket full of the worst poo, the real solid stuff, you know, out of the lake of sewage. You're still filled with a lake full of shit. That's what happens if Peter Dunn leaves Parliament. You know, a really large, solid, smelly, corn-ridden turd is gone. It will no longer float out there in the middle to thumb its nose at anybody who likes logic and compassion for the fellow man. It's gone, but it's still a river of shit. All right, and that's the problem with it, is that doing one thing is not good enough. Everything has to change. This is what I am getting really frustrated with almost every part of my life with, is that there's no way that you can keep continuing to do what you're doing on a daily basis for any real considerable period of time, really, is there? You know, you have to change with the times. And the whole reason why the world is so fucked up is because the politicians ain't been changing with the times. And neither have we to a large extent. You know? Our daily life hasn't really changed all that much from being a slave in the workforce who knows nothing about conspiracy theories to being a slave to my job exposing conspiracy theories and helping people to really deal with the shit through humor. Okay, my daily life in terms of inputs, outputs, foods and water and roof over the head and so on and so forth haven't really changed all that much. The lifestyle stays more or less the same. It's just I've got a new job. It's called exposing scumbaggery. Some people don't think that's a job. Well, what do you think an investigative journalist does? They sit there and expose scumbaggery, and then they get paid for it. I'm doing it for free because it needs to be done. And that's why people donate, because they know that there ain't anybody else in this country doing it. Are there? I mean, name me one New Zealander on American talk radio other than me. Nothing, you know? Anyway, back to the law and order policy. Corruption will be illegal. Illegal for politicians to take bribes in any form. It will be illegal to have business holdings and trust that benefit directly from laws you pass. That's a big one that we've learned from John Key. And illegal for Freemasons or members of any oath-bound secret society to run for public office. I thought this was actually quite an important one, really. I mean, think about it. I think public office also should really include police and judges and government jobs and things like that if you're a Mason or a member of a secret society. No, sorry, bro. It's illegal. Well, but what if we do? Are you trying to bribe me? Because that's illegal too. Do you want me to call the police? The non-Masonic police? You know, because you'd actually have to kick all the police out of their line of work, who are Masons, I think. If you want to be a Freemason and you want to be a part of secret society, then you are relegated to the private sector, and the public sector is no place for you ever again. Okay? And part of the reason for doing this is because a lot of the corruption and a lot of the steering of this country by secret societies is being done through Freemasonry. And I mentioned any oath-bound secret society for a specific reason. Because they take oaths to that secret society. So if they become a member of the public service or the police or a judge or anything like that, they have to take an oath. And if they've already got an oath to somebody else, that's illegal. Or it would be if I was a ruthless dictator. Man, that sounds good. And also, the last point on that law and order policy is all court proceedings would be recorded and made available for the public record. All right, now that sounds really strange, like recording court proceedings? Yes, recording court proceedings, because it doesn't happen in New Zealand. All right? It doesn't happen. They just turn it off whenever the judge wants to break the law, and then turn it back on when they deliver the verdict that fucks you. That's what happens in this country, and I'm pretty sure it happens in all the other legal systems in the world as well. You know, that's why corruption will be illegal, because it's a grossly miscarriage of justice, isn't it? Now, what was the fourth bunch of policies I got here? Oh, yeah. Children and families policy. Because everybody keeps going, please think of the children. And so policy is pretty straightforward. Child abuse and kidnapping by the state will be illegal. You know, strangely enough, you know, you can't abuse kids in a state-run institution or run them through human trafficking schemes. Okay? Not allowed to do it anymore. Sorry. So, for example, taking a child away from their family based on false accusations by Child, Youth and Family Services or Work and Income New Zealand or Family Court will be considered child abuse and you'll be prosecuted. Now, I see this happening a lot of time, man, kids being taken away from their families for literally fabricated reasons. And it's just not fair and it's not cool. And it damages the child. It damages the parents. It ruins their frickin' life. And that is the fault of social workers. And in the United States, I think as in Child Protective Services custody, you are 9 times more likely to be sexually abused than you are with your own family. Right? It's because it's a state-run kidnapping and child trafficking ring. Think about it. If you had to kidnap children, what would be the ultimate cover? Oh, we have to take your child. It's the law. Boom! You get away with it. Oh, my goodness. It's brilliant. And another one that seems to be common sense, but it's just not common practice, is for fathers and mothers to have the exact same parental rights and access to their children and rights to access to their children, right? Because in the New Zealand Family Court, that doesn't happen very often. In fact, in most family courts around the world, I think it's something like 90% of people. Oh, hello. We've got a guest in.
Hello.
Hello, Princess Corina. How are you?
How are you doing? Sorry for the delay of, like, in the middle of traveling. I travel all the time.
All right. During showtime as well, eh? Cool.
I've actually never heard your show before. Not until James mentioned you before, you know, to me, but I never actually listened to your show.
Okay. Well, we're on air now, and I'm just getting a phone call as well, and it's too far away for me to reach. One moment, please. Ah, come on, reach! Here we go. Now, who is it? Hello, private number. This is Vinnie Eastwood, and we're live on Talk Radio. Please call back later. Done. Oh. Okay, so, Corina, you've kind of come in the last 15 minutes of the show. So if you've got maybe anything you want to say, now would be the time to say it. Oh, my God. Are you freaking kidding me? Would you say it now? Yes? While I'm talking to these people on the phone? Hello? Okay. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is my internet provider, Slingshot. Yeah, go ahead, mate. You're on air. Well, I'm on live talk radio, bro. Do you think that's a good time?
No problem.
All right, cool. Thank you, Slingshot. Have a lovely day. Bye bye.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi. Yeah, my signal, it's like weak.
All right. Well, unfortunately, it's not gonna be good enough for the show, and now we're just kind of interrupting all sorts of stuff. I mean, I don't know what to do right now. I'm actually very frustrated and sort of thing. I didn't even want to do a show today because my wife just got home from the hospital. She had a 20-centimeter fibroid removed from her guts there. So just kind of having a lot of that go through my head, and then you didn't show up, and then I had to kind of like wing like most of the hour, and now you're calling in like near the end of the hour.
I'm on my way back. I have surgery coming up, so I have to go back for surgery. I have a broken jaw, so I.
Oh my God! What happened?
I had a really bad fall because somebody put something in a walkway, and I flipped over it. It was in a blind spot it was actually in Topanga Canyon in California, and I spent 4.5 months of my life in a hospital last year between going from California being shipped to Sweden, back over to Denmark. Now I got to go back to Denmark, and I'm going to go have surgery. It broke in four places.
My God. That must have been freaking painful as hell.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it, but I just want to get it over with.
So last 10 minutes of the show or anything like that, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I just
or
want
introduce
everybody
yourself
to harmonize. Hello, I'm Her Royal Highness is Karina. I'm a princess, and I was once a hidden child, a princess, and I was in training my whole life from all my elders. I learned everything, and they planned me for what's coming, that's coming up pretty soon in the future, the very near future. And my only main goal is I do everything naturally myself. You know, let's take care of each other, help each other, our fellow neighbors, which is, you know, all the other countries, everybody. Everybody's got to harmonize, come together with gratitude, because we're all on this little planet together. And it starts with each one of us, ourselves. And if we are a person that goes out and judgmental, then we are needing ourselves judged, because you're not supposed to go out and judge people. That's up to God. I walk with God. God takes me everywhere. I go everywhere with God. I and him been friends since I even came into existence here. And I just want the whole world to be happy. There's no reason for fighting and doing horrible things. And then I see on the news about those children. Oh my God, you know, what are these people thinking? You know, so we get to look within ourselves and then help each other, because there's so many simple solutions on how to take care of this planet. Very simple.
Acting under the assumption people actually listen or think that there's even a problem when they're being shown it. And in fact, it's ironic that you talk about this harmonizing and not judging people, because that's what I spent like the first most of the first part of the show doing.
I didn't even hear it because I never heard your show before.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you having me on here.
Well, it was just a frustration thing, you know. But I think what was really eating at me was more the fact that there's a lot of things going on simultaneously right now in the alternative media circuit in New Zealand, and there's just I have to cover it all, and I don't have enough time or mental faculty, and it's just
when you're pulled in too many directions because you've got too many skills that can't be used simultaneously sort of thing. Yeah. It was just like a being pulled apart.
Yeah, that's the way I've been feeling for the last few days of being pulled in so many different directions. And I mean by so many wonderful, great people in high positions and stuff. But I'm just going to be me, and I'm going to hold my head up high. I'm not afraid to do a travel because I travel alone with my dog. I go everywhere. I look everybody in the eyes, and I smile, and it melts people because I'm a bright, bright light. I can't take my light out. I shine bright across the universe and back. I've always been this way.
Now, can I go back there and talk about, you know, you say that you're a princess. What family?
I'm actually from two different kingdoms, the Scandinavian side and also the British royal.
And when did you find out that you were part of their family?
When I was a very small child.
And you said you were a hidden child. What does that mean?
Well, my parents met. And my father actually is younger than my mother. So they met in Cambridge. And, of course, you know, love is love. And it's the 60s. And then he had to go off and do his thing, you know, with life, with military and all that stuff that they do because he's a lot younger and he's in college. And then she had to go back to Scandinavia, and then she was pregnant. So I was sent away. But actually switched out.
And why are you surfacing now and coming
public? Well, I've been surfaced. I've been walking red carpets for decades. I'm here. I've been in the public eye the whole time. They gave me to the Errol Flynn family. I was raised by Beverly Adlin and James Flynn and so many wonderful, wonderful people. And I was already in the public eye my whole life. Just people are so, I guess like what I call it, mundane, so common. They just don't open up their eye. They don't have higher consciousness and be aware of their surroundings and look at me. I look like Sesame Street to this family. I'm blonde hair, blue-eyed. You know, I look like a little Scandinavian girl, which that's where I live now. And, you know, I'm here. I've been surfaced. I just don't go talk about my family because I don't want anybody. It's not wanting their money. I'm not wanting money. I make my own money, and I choose to do what I do because this is what my relationship with God is. And I hold my head up high. To me, I'm already the queen of the earth. I already take care of my planet. And everybody, every day I go for walks, and who's ever in my path that needs help, I'm there. I do helpings. I like to feed the world, not just the homeless, because how can you be homeless when we're under God's creation? And, you know, everybody can get up and do a skill. Everybody has a skill. But all these people, they think that they've got to put a price on their skill. How can you put a price on human life? You can't.
Well, that's not what the human traffickers at the UN think.
They just want, you know, I can survive without money, and I can get around without money, and I do. It just, that's just the way it is. I love fishing. I travel all the time. I'm always doing something, and I know how to survive. And I have a lot of organizations I've been working on since I was a kid. And one of them's the rainforest. And we have like six of them. And we can't rebuild and put those same plants that they took out. But we have some other type of plants that are trees that we could use. And they have their own type of filters to them. And then we could take that and harvest that and make cars. You can make plastic clothes, whatever out of it. And then grow some more. But it'll clean up the oxygen. And I've been saying this since I was a kid. And I'm almost 50 years old now. You know, well, I'm going to be 49 this year, but getting close. And it's only a number. People think I'm like a little kid when they look at me. because I haven't aged.
And is this something you've been doing this your whole life, you know, trying to do charity and make the world a better place or whatever? But what I was saying is why you're coming out now is just asking what you came on the show to talk about today.
To spread the gratitude. Because I know my brother James wanted us to do a talk and stuff on the show and things, but we already ended up doing that with Mr. Rockefeller. Today is just to talk about me and you know what I do. Not like talk about myself, but this is what I do. And I spread the gratitude, and that's to everybody. Even if my enemy, I forgive all my enemies. I've been through the hellfire, but I walk out and I still hold my head up high. You know, if I saw someone fall down and that person hated my guts and did harm to me, but he was choking or she was choking or whatever, I would save that person's life. Cause that's just how I am. I feed the world. I take care of the world. I spread it with my word.
Yeah.
And it's really easy, so simple, of how to take care of things. We have natural resources, but people are putting a high demand on things, and it's just ridiculous. You know, we can't go back to coal. You know, we can't go back to stuff to have.
Oh, sorry, we seem to have lost you there. Princess, are you there? Nope, we're having a bad connection there. Oh, well, it's nearly at the end of the show. Anyway, sorry about this, folks. I guess, you know, sort of all over the place today, wasn't it? I wish I could say it was my bad. Yeah, never actually been able to blame a princess for me screwing up my own show before. That's good. It's a nice change, isn't it? So, in either case, my wife has to stay home and cannot drive for like 6 weeks now while she's recovering from her surgery. And I did ask last week, ladies and gentlemen, to donate, and by goodness, you did. But that was when I was raising money for 4 weeks, rent. So if there's another $1,000 floating around out there amongst you ladies and gentlemen that could helpfully, you know, pay our rent and keep us fed and so on and so forth for the end of this month, that would be really gravy. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and check out that Kiwi Bank, the PayPal and the Patreon if you want to keep supporting me monthly with as little as $1 a month. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime, folks.